We're nearly at the end of Ephesians. So I just want to put up the first slide. Right. Sometimes we forget that that's what it was all about, incorruptible love, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And we're right down to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. So I just want to put that up for you. Okay. It's from the New International Version. And Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, these are my emphases, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I don't know about you, if you've ever been surfing. I have not been surfing, ever. I'm scared of deep water because I once nearly drowned. So I have never surfed, but surfers will tell me that they position themselves to catch that wave. And then the power of the wave takes them. And the closest I've got to that sort of sense is having an automatic car. I don't know if you drive an automatic car, but you're going along and all of a sudden the gears change. And you've done nothing, but you just are driving along and there's a shift. And I think that's what praying in the Spirit is actually like. You are simply praying, but the Holy Spirit has the power surge or the shifting of the gears, and things happen. And so I want to talk today about praying in the Spirit. I'm not going to talk about the different kinds of prayer. We've heard about that. It's not going to be a sermon on this is what prayer is and this is what you do. It's going to be about praying in the Spirit. And the first thing that we've learnt all about our enemy. So we are don't have to be convinced about that. We know we have an enemy, and therefore we need to stand firm. So we've been learning about that. We've been learning about how to apply God's armor. Okay? It's not our armor, it's God's armor that we wear and apply. So we've learnt about truth, the importance of truth. We've learnt about living right before God and each other. We've learnt about being ready to share the gospel as part of God's armor. We've learnt about living in the hope of salvation. And we've learnt about having faith and using God's word, which is the sword of the Spirit. And here Paul comes along and he says, pray in the Spirit at the very end of this list, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It's a lot of alls, is what I noticed when I looked at the verse. So, in which way? In the Spirit. When? On all occasions, always. How? With all kinds of prayers. For who? For all the Lord's people. And I was what the Lord seemed to be emphasizing to me was praying for all the Lord's people. This is not an encouragement here for Paul for us to pray for the nations and the people who've never heard in this particular verse. It's praying for all the Lord's people, and it grabbed me. And so I want to unpack this verse in the light of the rest of Ephesians 6 and the rest of Ephesians. And it's going to be on what I believe the Lord has urged me to emphasize, as I've asked him since December last year to teach me about. And I want to tell you, I'm still learning, and I feel like I've hardly begun. So here goes. And the first thing is, who was Paul writing to? Who was he writing to? It's not rocket science. Who was he writing to? To the Ephesians, okay, to the church at Ephesus. He wasn't writing to the church at Rome. There was another letter. He wasn't writing to the Christians in Jerusalem. He was writing to the church at Ephesus. In other words, he was writing to a local church. And so just let me put that up there. He was writing to the local church at Ephesus. Now, where is your local church? Here, Okay. We are the local church here. That this is where we belong. And we don't know much about the church at Ephesus, but we do know a little bit about our church. And but the fact is, it's our local church. And so look around you and tell yourself, this is my church, okay? This is your church, it's my church. And it's where we as believers belong. It's where we're involved. It's where we participate. It's where we fellowship. There's no such thing in the scriptures as attending church. It doesn't exist. Okay, the church is who we are. It's whose we are. We're a group of people who belong to Jesus and we belong to each other. And the New Testament letters are full of each other's or one another's verses. Serve one another, love one another, encourage one another, stimulate one another to love and good works. Confess your sins to one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Build up one another. Accept one another. Forgive one another. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Show hospitality to one another. Submit to one another. Pray for one another. How are you doing? How am I doing? Do we even know what's going on in each other's lives? Are we that closely connected in reality? How is the community aspect of our church? Community is a two-way reality. It's you connected to me and me connected to you, and that applies to each of us. So basically what I'm trying to do here is to open my eyes and yours wide to the fact that we're not on our own. We belong to Jesus, but we also belong to each other. And that's an immense privilege. To belong is not a passive thing. It's definitely not a name on a list. So at Crossways Church, we belong to each other. This is our local church community. And Paul says, pray for all the Lord's people. So let's have a look then at Ephesians 6 in the light of this. If you remember, a few weeks back we looked at verse 12, which says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world forces of darkness, etc. Some versions say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against all these other things. So all the pieces of armor might be in place in our lives, and the injunction is to stand firm, and yes, we need to. But I want to ask the question, by ourselves? No. Together. Together. Who ever heard of a one-man army? Anybody? Not very powerful. But when we are together, and I believe when Paul says, pray in the Spirit for all the Lord's people, it's a very important part of us standing firm. Okay? Unless you are an isolated Christian on a desert island somewhere and your ship's gone sailing away into the sunset and you have to survive on your own, that's a different matter. But here we are. We have each other. And I believe down through the ages, the Christians being together in community is what held them standing firm. Okay, so our individual responsibility is to apply the armor. But to stand firm, a very important thing is praying in the Spirit for each other, because it's our struggle. Let's not be a one-man army. Sorry, just get my technology right. It is our struggle. Let's own it. So, do you have any idea of who sits in the other corner of the church on Sundays and how they might be struggling? Probably not. Have you ever prayed for him or her or that child or that teenager? Probably not. But here we're being encouraged to pray for all the Lord's people. So how are we going to do that when we don't even know what their struggles are? But there is someone who does know, and that is the Holy Spirit. So hence Paul's injunction, not just to pray for for all the Lord's people, but to pray in the Spirit for all the Lord's people. So let's have a look at this scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. This is what he says. Now, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. How important is it to pray according to the will of God? It's very important. 1 John 5 verse 15 says, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him." So often we ask for things and they're not in accordance with God's will. And they might be good things, but God has got something different he's doing in some people's lives. And so sometimes God's will and purpose is very different to what we in our humanness ask for. Sheena Gaston lent me a book this holiday called When God Doesn't Fix It. And it's a real revelation of a book. It's a story about a lady. She was young and been married for a year, just started working as a worship leader at a big church in Atlanta, and her husband was going to a college to do graphic art, and he kept falling asleep, and it got to be a bit of a problem, so he had some tests done, and she was away on a conference when she got a phone call. He said, "I've got a brain tumor." And what happened? And she cried out to God for prayer, for healing for him, and all the rest of it. And he had the operation, and it was a very complicated one. And the end part of it was that he landed up without a short-term memory. Now, you put your imagination out there and know what it was like. When he went to the bathroom, he didn't know which way in a restaurant to turn when he came out. You know where he'd been sitting. Okay, and how this, for example, impacted their lives. But the whole book is full of what God wanted to teach her through the thing. And I think the same with Rob when he was ill for 12 years with Parkinson's disease. God didn't heal him in this life at all. He's fully healed now. But there were all sorts of things that God wanted to do. So we need to learn to pray according to the will of God. And the Holy Spirit knows how to do that. So hence the instruction to pray in the Spirit. And this message today, long before I ever knew I would be preaching anything about this, began last year in November when I was preparing my message. I don't know if you remember it, on being rooted in Christ. And I had the three trees. I don't know if you remember that. And I did something I've never done before that message. I took the church list and I prayed for each person by name who would be in this, I don't know who was going to be in this service, but everybody on the thing. And I just prayed. I said, "Lord, I just want to pray the very best prayer I can pray for this person and that person and this person." And so I went through the list. And I'm trusting you to lead me. And I became convinced as a result of that, that prayer can be very exciting when it's led by the Spirit. It's not boring. It's not dull. It's not a list. It's not praying what you think might be the issue. You just pray for the person and let the Holy Spirit lead. And it could be anything. And you know what? The most exciting thing is that any of us can do that. Any of us can do that. It's not necessarily easy. We grow up being trained to be independent thinkers, until we get to a stage and independent in every way. And then we get to something, and I hope you don't mind if I use your example, Barbara, at the back. But Barbara is very dependent at this stage of her life on carers, Ed and the carers that care for her so well. And I'm sure it's not been easy to learn to be dependent. And I think spiritually it's not easy to learn, I haven't found it easy, to learn to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. And so we in our humanness, we pray for what we think we should pray for somebody, or what is obvious need, and we pray for that. But sometimes the Holy Spirit's got totally other things that he would like us to pray for, which he can reveal to us because he knows Angie's needs. He knows Jenny's needs. I don't know Jenny from a bar of soap, but the Holy Spirit does. And so he can lead us. So it's a journey, this depending on the Holy Spirit and learning to pray in the Holy Spirit. So let me just hope I've got the right slide here. Yes, the Holy Spirit knows the needs of each believer that he's asking us to pray for. And so how does it happen? Well, maybe you're praying, just the very best prayer you can pray, and he brings a scripture to mind. You think, oh, you weren't expecting to even think about that scripture. And so you pray it. And so, for example, maybe he'll give you a scripture like, do not fear, for I'm with you. And you had no idea that the person that comes to mind for you to pray for is fearful. And so there's the scripture. And so you think, oh, well, the scripture maybe isn't for me. Maybe it's for that person that I'm praying for. And so you pray the scripture and you say, for example, Lord, I don't know what this person is fearful about, but whatever they're fearful about, help them to know, according to this verse you've given me in Isaiah, do not fear, for I'm with you. Help them to know that your presence is right there with them, right now, as I pray for them. And you say you'll uphold them with your strong right hand. Help them to know that. Help them to feel that strength right now in their time of anxiety and fear. For example, it's the kind of prayer you could pray. Maybe you're reading your Bible reading in the morning, and you aren't even praying at that point, and a verse jumps out at you, and you think, huh? And you think, no, it's not applying to me. And then somebody in the church's face might come to mind, or somebody, if you're in the way of wanting to be led by like this in prayer. And so you prayed for them. Maybe if you know them well, you can even send them the scripture, as I sometimes do. Please, not prescriptive scriptures. Encouraging, sensitive scriptures are good to send to people. And just trust that the Holy Spirit's leading you. So that's the one thing. Maybe he'll give you a scripture for somebody. And here's the interesting thing. You're praying in the Spirit. The Word of God, as you would have heard last week, is the sword of the Spirit. He knows how to wield his sword. Okay, so he can give a word, a scripture word to somebody. That's why we need to be reading the word, so that we know where these things come from and we can recognize them as scriptures and pass them on. And then maybe for some of you, and it doesn't happen to me, but maybe for some of you, and I know it happens to you, you can be praying for somebody and you get a picture. Sometimes people come to the front here and the elders pray and somebody gets in their mind's eye a picture and asks the Lord, what does it mean? And prays that picture over somebody. I think I've shared this before. Rob used to get pictures. He was a very visual person. And there was once a time in Graaff-Reinet where a young guy came for prayer. He wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we prayed for him. And he was very, very powerfully filled with the Spirit. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it before or since. Anyway, the next week his mother was on the phone to us. Please, can she come for prayer? We didn't know her from a bar of soap. And she was quite a prominent lady in the town. I had noticed her. She was a very striking lady too, so you couldn't help but noticing her. Anyway, she asked to come for prayer. So as Rob did when anyone came to for counseling or talking, he would always say, well, let's pray before we did anything. So he prayed. And the minute he closed his eyes, he got two pictures straight away. And they were such unusual pictures to get that he thought, oh, this must be you, Lord. And so he asked the Lord just quietly in his own heart, what do they mean? The one picture was of a stage. I mean, how odd is that? Just a stage. And so he prayed along the lines, Lord, I just think since maybe this lady's had to perform all her life, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He prayed along those lines. And the other picture he got was of a dartboard. And in that context, It was not what Tony shared with me this morning, but it was a different context of a dartboard. And for him, a dartboard meant men throwing darts. And he felt that she'd been hurt by men in her life. And so he prayed those two prayers. Well, by the time we said amen, our eyes were like this. How did you know? It was the Holy Spirit. Okay, so sometimes when we pray and we're trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us, it might be through a scripture, but it might also be through a picture. And really what those pictures are words of knowledge, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's the sort of scriptural background to what I want to say. So can you do that? Yes, you can. It's trusting God. Most of you, we are now going to be encouraged to pray, as I've read this morning, for all the Lord's people. All of you, I think, are, except for some of the children, are on the Crossways Church Broadcast WhatsApp group. Everybody's name is there. No excuses. I think they're all there, aren't they? Not just me who's the broadcast person. Yeah, they're all there. Why not take some people every week and pray for them? People you don't even know. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray for them. Don't all start at A's, else Anne and Ange and all the others are going to be prayed for first a lot. Some of you start at the end or in the middle. Okay. But you know, the Holy Spirit might lead you very differently. He might lead you just to pray for one person for a whole week or for 3 months or whatever it might be, along whatever line he is asking you to do. Maybe when you come into church on a Sunday morning, strike up a conversation. Have you ever done this with somebody at your table? How was your week? Is there anything I can pray for? Don't be prying. If they say, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. Okay. But sometimes people have had a hectic week and would love a prayer, and you can pray for them. If you're not confident to do it out loud, you can pray for them in your heart and say, I will pray for you this week. And next week when you come, ask them, how was your week? I've been praying for you. It's wonderful to have that culture of prayer for each other in the church. Sometimes you'll be doing something, hanging up the washing, watering the garden, or anything, and you suddenly get a in your ribs from the Holy Spirit, and you remember somebody, or somebody's face comes before you, and you think, sure, pray for them right then and there, in the Spirit, trusting the Holy Spirit for the best prayer. So that's the sort of thing that I'm talking about when I say pray in the Spirit. It's on all occasions, that first verse I read you, it's on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. There's no formula, okay? The Holy Spirit isn't tied to a prayer formula or only your quiet time, as Tanya emphasized. Any time during the day, you can pray like this. You can be in the shops and notice somebody from the church or even somebody not from the church, but somebody from the church, and just pray for them. You've noticed them. Take note of who, I've said this many times, take note of whom the Lord causes you to notice, because there's something you need to do, to pray or to visit or to write or to phone or whatever it might be, invite to a meal, etc. Then there's praying in the Spirit in tongues. That's also a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful gift to have and to ask for, especially when you don't know what to pray for somebody. You can pray in tongues for them because the Holy Spirit knows what the need is. And as you pray in tongues, you're using his utterance. And God the Father knows what the mind of the Spirit is and what the utterances of the Holy Spirit mean. You don't need to know, but he does. So maybe you suddenly get a burden for somebody. Pray for them in tongues. God understands. Then these are just some of the emphases that the Lord has given me these last few weeks. And then I was reminded of a scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. That one. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, that's prayer, or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. Now, the to him be glory in the church is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to whose power that works within us as we pray. power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're to pray in the Spirit. Now, and I want to end off. Can you imagine if this culture of praying for all the Lord's people catches on in our church, and we're all doing it? Can you imagine what an amazing outcome it will have in our church? Who knows what will happen as we pray for each other to be refreshed in the Lord, as we pray for each other to hear His voice, as we pray for each other to have power to witness, as we pray for each other to be spiritually encouraged, as we pray for each other to have wisdom, as we pray for each other to have a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, as we pray for each other to know the hope of His calling. Are you hearing these verses from Ephesians coming out? As we pray to know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, as we pray to be rooted in love, people to be rooted in love, as we pray for people to know the heights and depths of Christ's love, as we pray for people to know His kindness and His faithfulness, as we pray for people to know the good works that He's leading that person into, as we pray to know the healing, that people would know the healing of relationships in their life, as we pray for people to grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, becoming more Christ-like, as we pray for people to be grounded in the faith, as we pray for people to be set free in Christ, as we pray for people to know their identity in Him, as we pray for people to be enabled to forgive and to walk in love, as we pray for people to learn to do what's pleasing to God, as we pray for Christ-centered marriages, as we pray for harmonious family life, as we pray for people to have a good work ethic, as we pray for people to have blessing in the workplace, as we pray for people to stand firm in the Lord. All of us can pray those prayers. They found most of them in the verses in the book of Ephesians. And then lastly, Ephesians 6 verse 19 reads as follows. Pray also for me, says Paul, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Let's not forget to pray especially for the leaders of our church who speak the word of God to us. They're on the front line of spiritual attack. In some ways, like you won't believe if you're in that position. Jesus said, smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. We need to pray for our leaders. Pray for their protection. Pray for them to be encouraged spiritually. Pray for them to be hearing what the Spirit is saying to our church. Pray for them to speak God's words. Pray for them to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's important. So to summarize, in our struggle, let's learn. It's our struggle. Let's learn to pray in the Spirit for all the Lord's people in our church community. Let's give the Holy Spirit carte blanche. Do you know what that means? It means blank paper to write His prayers on our hearts, to pray for each other, and especially for the leaders of the church. Right, let's pray. Father, as I've said, learning to be dependent is not easy. And so I pray that you would take us all, each one of us, on this journey of learning to pray in the Spirit for all the Lord's people, totally unrestricted to formulas and prayer lists, although those are good. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn to pray in the Spirit, to learn to depend on that surge of power we can experience as we position ourselves to pray. And so, Lord, I pray that you would shift mindsets, that you would help us to learn to live in the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as I just close with these closing blessings from Ephesians, just want to read the last two verses of Ephesians to you. Peace be to you all, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Amen.
Thank you, Pam, for that beautiful, beautiful.